This podcast is featured on the Gun Rights Radio Network, podcasting freedom.
The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud member of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T here. Happy holidays, everyone, and since I'm American, I'll say more specifically, Happy Newton's Birthday, also known as Merry Gravmas. Yeah, I'm a geek. Doggone straight. Personally, I'm celebrating life right now. I think it's particularly important to do that this Christmas holiday season. That's because we know that not everyone will get to do that. I'm referring specifically to the terrible tragedy that happened earlier this month. As just about everyone in this country and lots of folks around the world have heard, a terrible thing happened earlier this month. Some lunatic, evil madman first shot and murdered his mother with one of her own guns while she was asleep. His own mother. I don't know. I guess he must have felt, warmed up somehow, because he wasn't done. Then he went to the school where she volunteered. He blew the lock off an elementary school's door. He entered and then went on a killing spree. He shot and killed six adults, including the principal. We're already at the evil stage now. But apparently, even all that wasn't enough for this killer. This embodiment of evil, Satan himself on planet Earth, then kept going. He killed. He murdered 20 little kids. First graders. 6 and 7 year old children. 20 of them. 20 innocent little children. This is evil on a scale surpassing even the killer of Virginia Tech. And that's hard to do. But this murderer managed to do it. When the police arrived and had cornered him, rather than face justice, this coward took his own life, shot himself. And now, his reward. He's being reported all over the world. Everyone knows the name of this Satan on Earth. That's why I'm not going to mention his name. The last act of evil, folks, that I heard of similar to this was in Norway. This is where this right-wing extremist named Breivik went on a killing spree against teenagers at a summer camp. It was a little over a year ago. He didn't take his own life, and he at least had the guts to face justice. This other embodiment of evil was given Norway's maximum sentence of 21 years in prison. Now, personally, I wouldn't shed a tear if whatever bubba they have over in Norwegian prison, shall we say, cut his sentence short. I'm sure you all get my meaning. Even Bubba agrees, you don't mess with children. I know, I've met some really hardened criminals. Murderers. Rapists. Really bad folks. Even they all agreed on that one point. You don't mess with little kids. And now, there are all sorts of talking heads and politicians calling for the banning of things that they label assault weapons and high-capacity clips. Now, being a liberal from San Francisco, you know, and the peace and love and all that stuff, you might think I'd be all for this. And 20 years ago, yeah, I would have been. Heck, maybe even 5 years ago, I would have been. But now I know better. At my present age, I just turned 44, Dirty Harry's favorite age, I'm sure, I've seen a lot more of the world than I had at 24. I've learned a lot more over those years. I've learned a lot even in the last 5 years since I finished waking up at age 39. This is 4.5 years ago. It was then, June of 2008, like I've told you before, that I understood the real meaning of the Second Amendment. I've mentioned it in previous episodes here. A couple papers that I've written, too, I've also mentioned it. But I know. All that's theoretical, though. What about the reality of those dead kids? What do we do about that? Let's stay on topic here. What about those dead kids? What do we do? Well, we certainly shouldn't do what the NRA suggested recently, and that's putting police in all our schools. That looks too much to me like a police state. And guess what? I don't want North Korea here. I'm kind of surprised the NRA leadership would even suggest turning America into more of a police state. Besides, the bad guys, think about it. The bad guys will know exactly who to shoot first. Aim for the guy in the uniform. If I can think of it, well, so can the bad guys. Duh! My fellow liberals, I'm about to present an idea to you that many of you might find pretty shocking. Now, I'll admit this, I would have found it just as shocking, too, not so long ago. Here it is. I suggest that the Gun-Free School Zone Act of 1995, and originally of 1990, is what allowed that massacre to happen, and that we need to get rid of it. Allow those who have been vetted, namely those with concealed handgun permits, to carry in schools just the same as they can carry just about anywhere else. Yeah, I said it. Like I said, 20 years ago, if you told me I would ever be advocating for concealed carry in kindergarten through 12 schools, I'd have thought you were smoking something illegal. Well, maybe some of you think I am right now. But I assure you, I am quite sober. And I'm deadly serious. How could I propose such a thing? Won't that make things worse? No, it won't. Carrying in schools? It's happening already, actually. Yeah, that's right. It's already happening right now. In the state of Utah. Yep, Utah allows concealed carry in K-12 schools just the same way concealed carry is allowed virtually everywhere else. You don't hear of school shootings happening in Utah now, do you? Here's another one. There's a school district in Texas. It's called Herald School District. They decided 5 years ago to allow their teachers who have concealed carry permits to do just that. Carry concealed. Yeah, that's right. Their teachers are packing in the school. 5 years now they've been doing this. As Herald School District Superintendent David Thweet explained back then, quote, "When the federal government started making schools gun-free zones, that's when all these shootings started. Why would you put it out there that a group of people can't defend themselves? That's like saying sick 'em to a dog. The naysayers think it won't happen here. If something were to happen here, I'd much rather be calling a parent to tell them that their child is okay because we were able to protect them." Close quote. You haven't heard of any school shootings in Herald School District, have you? Here's another one. Our ally, Israel, has had armed citizens in their schools since the 1970s. 40 years! Why'd they do that? Well, it turns out their schools were getting shot up by terrorists like that homicidal maniac in Newtown, Connecticut. And surprise, surprise, the Israelis got tired of having their children killed. So, they've had armed guards, citizen guards, in their schools ever since. And there hasn't been a single report of a school shooting since they did this. And I think we all know how safe the schools in Switzerland are. Enough said there. Superintendent Thweet is correct, folks. Every time there's been a mass murder, it's happened in one of these gun-free zones. Now, this hits particularly hard for me since I used to work in a public school district not so long ago. After I woke up in 2008, while I was still working there, I started wondering, what if another Columbine happens at one of my schools? Would we be able to stop the killer? Or killers, as the case may be? Or would we end up like those folks in Newtown, Connecticut, or Columbine, trying in vain to shield the kids with our bodies, and we all die? Yet again, I'm reminded of that situation with my father. The only thing that saved him, I remind you, was the fact that he could shoot back, and that his would-be murderers knew it. They took off and ran. This is deadly serious stuff, folks. Coming up with this podcast episode took some time. I wasn't sure how to respond to what just happened. That's why. How do you respond to something like this? Fortunately, I have some guidance. We're going to share that guidance with you right after this little short break for station ID. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under sources.
Okay, we're back. We are talking about the terrible tragedy at that school in Newtown, Connecticut. 20 little children, 6 adults, and before then his own mother, all dead. I told you I had some difficulty coming up with what to say in this podcast episode. Seriously, how do you respond to something like this? Well, I told you I had some guidance. There are people in this world who have had to face such evil. Here is some of that guidance.
Let me make sure that you understand I'm not here representing the NRA. I'm not even a member. Okay? Secondly, I'd like to say that in your opening statements, you commented specifically on my testimony saying that basically it had nothing to do with this issue. And I had to chuckle because then I noticed you had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that, I didn't grow up in a house with guns. I don't hunt. I personally abhor hunting. But I was given a gun by a friend when I was 21 to carry in my purse for self-defense, and I was taught how to use it. A couple of years ago, my parents and I went to a cafeteria in Texas on a bright sunny day. We weren't in a dark alley where we weren't supposed to be. And as you all know the story, this madman drove his truck through the window, and he began shooting. Well, immediately, my father and I got down on the floor and put the table up in front of us. And this guy kept shooting. And you're thinking, well, you know, what could it be? Is it a robbery? That's the first thing that generally comes to mind. And he keeps shooting. It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could. Now, I'd like to make something clear. I hear all this talk about how many bullets can go in a clip. I've been there. I can tell you it doesn't matter. It takes 1 second to switch out a clip. You can have one bullet or 100 bullets. It doesn't matter, guys. I've been there. He goes, dump, dump, just like that. That's not enough time to rush a man. I promise you. When I finally realized what was occurring, I thought, I got him. And I reached for my purse. He was maybe 12 feet away. You know, is it possible my gun could have jammed? Sure. Is it possible I could have missed? Sure. But I can tell you I've hit much smaller targets at much greater distances. But then I realized that a couple of months earlier I had made the stupidest decision of my life. I took my gun out of my purse and left it in my car. Because as you well know, in the state of Texas, it's sometimes a felony offense to carry a gun in your purse. I can tell you that I'm not mad at the guy that did this. As he continued, it was obvious that he was a madman. My father, at that point, said, I've got to do something. He's going to kill everybody in here, and he rushed the man. No way. The guy turned, shot him in the chest. He went down, was obviously mortally wounded. For whatever reason, that made the man change directions and go off to my left. Shortly thereafter, someone at the back of the restaurant broke out a window. When I saw what looked like an opportunity to escape, I turned around and I grabbed my mother by the shirt and I said, come on, come on, we've got to run, we've got to get out of here. And then my feet grew wings and I was out the back window. As soon as I got out, I realized that my mother had not followed me out. And as I learned from the police officers, she had crawled over to where my father was and cradled him until the guy got back around her, put the gun to her head. She looked up at him, put her head down, and he pulled the trigger. My parents had just had their 47th wedding anniversary. She wasn't going anywhere. As I mentioned, I'm not really mad at the guy that did this. And I'm certainly not mad at the guns that did this. They didn't walk in there by themselves and pull their own triggers. The guy that did it was a lunatic. That's like being mad at a rabid dog. I'm mad at my legislators for legislating me out of the right to protect myself and my family. I would much rather be sitting in jail with a felony offense on my head and have my parents alive. As far as these so-called assault weapons, you say that they don't have any defense use. You tell that to the guy that I saw on a videotape of the LA riots, standing up on his rooftop, protecting his property and his life from an entire mob with one of these so-called assault weapons. Tell me that he didn't have a legitimate self-defense use. Just one final statement. I've been sitting here getting more and more fed up with all of this talk about these pieces of machinery having no legitimate sporting purpose, no legitimate hunting purpose. People, that is not the point of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is not about duck hunting. And I know I'm not going to make very many friends saying this, but it's about our right, all of our right, to be able to protect ourselves from all of you guys up there.
That was Dr. Susanna Gracia Hupp. In 1991, nearly 23 years ago, she lost her parents in a similar mass murder at a place called Luby's Cafeteria in Texas. She watched a killer methodically start shooting people, just like she described. She then watched this killer shoot and murder her father. You heard about that. Later, the police told her about how they saw her mother also get shot and killed. What you just heard, her testimony to the Texas State Legislature, was instrumental in getting concealed carry to be allowed by general citizens in that state. I saw her at the Second Amendment March in April of 2010. To hear her speak was haunting, folks. Even though it had been nearly 20 years at that point since her parents were murdered, she still carried that knot in her gut from it. She hasn't gotten completely over it yet. Maybe she never will. There are some who believe that God speaks through some people. For those of you who believe this, you might want to consider that perhaps God spoke through Dr. Susanna Hupp. Maybe you're wondering what any of this has to do with the evil thing that happened at that school in Newtown, Connecticut. Folks, she just made the case for how to prevent what happened at that school. That's the point. What happened at that school was a near duplicate of what happened at Luby's Cafeteria in 1991, the murder of her parents. It was a near duplicate of what happened at Virginia Tech University on April 16th, 2007, and again in Aurora, Colorado earlier this year at that movie theater. Each and every time this kind of mass murder has happened, it's been in a gun-free zone. When are we going to learn, people? It doesn't work. Gun-free zones don't work, folks. It doesn't work. The only way to stop a madman like that, hell-bent on murdering innocent people, is to drop that bad guy right then and there. Yes, you have to shoot him. That is the only reliable way to stop evil actors like this. Don't believe me? I've got proof. December 11th, 2012, just 2 weeks ago, just after that terrible murder at Sandy Hook Elementary, there was another nutcase hell-bent on murder. This was in the Portland, Oregon area. Clackamas Town Center Mall. I've been there before, matter of fact. My dad and I, we've actually shopped at Clackamas Town Center Mall in the past. Get this. This wacko started opening fire in the mall. Managed to kill two people. Well, turns out this time that embodiment of evil wasn't the only one with a gun. Not this time. A young man named Neil Melly. Neil, I hope I'm saying your name right. Also had a gun. He pulled it and aimed it right at the killer. Nick tells us that the killer saw him and his barrel pointed right at him. Neil didn't fire because he saw an innocent bystander behind the killer. You know, rule number 4 of firearm safety, be sure of your target and what is also behind it. But the killer, nonetheless, knew that he was staring at the business end of Neil's gun aimed right at his face. Just like at Sandy Hook Elementary School, this cowardly killer, too, took his own life with his gun rather than face justice for what he did. Neil, he just proved my point, man. An evil murderer hell-bent on mass killings got stopped by you when he saw you had a way to stop him. The police never even had to fire a shot once they got there. It was already all over. Now, I got a question. How come this story isn't getting plastered all over not just national but international news? Why? The only coverage it's getting is local. But why are the big national outlets not giving this story in Portland, Oregon, similar attention to the one in Newtown, Connecticut? I want to know. Why? Well, regardless of their total ignoring of Neil Melly's life-saving actions, this is what we need in our schools. We need to enable the Neil Mellies of the world to be able to stop deranged killers in our schools, just like Neil stopped that one at Clackamas Town Center. Want more evidence? Okay. How about from an actual school this time? You're going to get it as soon as we come back from a break for Station ID. Stay tuned, folks. We're far from done yet.
This is Alex Haddocks, host of the Practical Defense Podcast and member of the Gun Rights Radio Network. My latest manual, How to Write Range Safety Standard Operating Procedures, just became available. This detailed guide steps the reader through nearly every aspect of writing a shooting range SOP. This is a must-have reference for gun clubs, range owners, RSOs, and especially CRSOs. It's available now in Kindle, Nook, and iBook formats.
Okay, we're back. We're talking about the notion of allowing citizen concealed carry in our schools and that, you know, this is what we need now. Heck, we needed it before. At the very minimum, we need to allow our teachers who protect our kids all day to carry. And we need more than one of them. Yep, that's right, my fellow liberals. Our school teachers need to be to at least be allowed the choice to pack heat. They're our teachers. We entrust them with the most precious thing we have, our kids. What you are about to hear is an actual school administrator where they do exactly this.
And welcome back. Our guest tonight is David Thweet, superintendent for Harold ISD in Northern Texas. We'll be talking to him about teachers carrying firearms in the classroom. He joins us now via Skype. Thanks for joining us, David.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, before we get into the teachers at your district carrying firearms in the classroom, at least being able to have that option, this recent shooting, the Sandy Hook, what was your first thoughts when you heard about that last week?
Yeah, I was sick. I mean, you know, nobody with any amount of humanity can hear that kind of thing and just not be saddened that somebody would have the evil intent to be able to hurt, you know, little kids like that. I just couldn't believe it. It was very heartbreaking.
Right. Now, speaking of teachers carrying firearms in the classroom, how long has that been allowed in your district and what actually prompted your decision to do that?
Well, we passed the policy in October of 2007, and we have passive security. We have the cameras. We have the electronic magnetic door, exterior doors, and restricted access. The two things caused it. The first one was October 2006 with the Pennsylvania Amish shooting. That was a milk delivery man who broke in and caused that those deaths. That could have gotten past our security. We would have let him in the door. The other thing that happened was in April of 07, and that was, of course, Virginia Tech.
Right.
And what was disturbing about that was that, you know, their plan was to lock the doors and, you know, and hide. And that didn't stop him. He was able to shoot those doors open. And then, 60 casualties and 30 some odd dead.
Right.
That was very disturbing. Every one of the plans in the United States and schools, emergency plans, are to lock the doors and hide the kids. Well, That was disturbing to us because we're 30 minutes from law enforcement. We had no way to protect ourselves, and there wasn't anybody around to take care of us. We were our first responders.
Right.
I came up with a plan, and the plan, you know, has been on the news a lot. It's pretty self-explanatory. They have to have a CHL. We approve them. The board approves them individually. We undergo some extra training, and then we use frangible ammunition, which, you know, breaks apart when it hits hard objects,
right,
to avoid ricochet. So, but the advantage of our plan is that we have multiple people within the school, within the building, that can respond. We don't just have one. You know, every plan out there is a security guard. Well, what happens when he goes to the dentist? What happens when he has the flu?
Right.
What happens when he goes to lunch, for crying out loud? You see, every one of these things is predictable and targetable. And if you can take that target out, you know, these shootings will continue. You've got to have, first of all, like our plan, personnel anonymity. Nobody knows who has them. You're going to come to our school. You want to do damage? You are going to get some surprises.
Exactly. Exactly right. Now, I guess you have anonymity. Do you just have an estimate about how many teachers carry or personnel carry in your schools?
Yeah, we don't release that information.
Okay,
I would just say that it's sufficient. You know, we need redundancy. You know, and so if any individual happens to be, taken out in an attack, there'll be backup.
Right. And I definitely respect it, not trying to give away your,
sure,
your trade secrets. Now, I remember back when I was in school, it seems so long ago, but it probably wasn't. I remember our plan, as you spoke about, was to duck and hide and pretend like nobody was there in the middle of the school day.
Yeah.
You know, and it never made sense to me. Even one of my teachers, I remember, I'm not going to say her name because I think she still works there. She said, if anybody ever does attack the school, of course, this is after Columbine and all that. She said, I'm going to bust out one of those windows. Anybody wants to come with me can come with me. Because the plan was to lock the door and hide, turn out the lights and, you know, line up against the wall and hope that you didn't get shot. And, you know, you're at midday school time. Somebody knows that you're there. You can't hide and act like nobody's in the building. Yeah, I mean, you need some type of plan. So now this plan, I guess, is working for your district. Do you think it's the teachers carrying is something that could work nationwide?
Yeah, I do. I mean, right off the bat, what we know about active shooters, they're not going where there's resistance. That's what we know about them. You know what? So if every school has resistance, they're not going there. You know, but you know what? This wasn't necessary. We caused this trouble. This idea of making schools gun-free zones was somebody's brainstorm. And it was a stupid one. The idea of disarming and making some people basically unprotected across the nation was asinine at best. And so all we're doing is responding to the situation and trying to fix what 22 years ago occurred.
Right. That's exactly right. Now, do you have any kind of specifications on what type of firearms your staff can carry, anything that they can't carry?
Well, generally, we have some guidelines on that so that we can, you know, share ballistics and stuff like that. And then they need to be significant. So we do have, you know, we want to make sure that we have significant firepower.
Okay. And you talked about concealed carry training, excuse me. Do you have any other type of specialty training that your teachers need to go through before they're allowed to carry on campus?
Yeah, we have some significant, I will just call it that. And it mainly has to do with accuracy. We also do some room clearance, and we also do, you know, some hostage-type situations. And but mainly accuracy. That's the one thing we need to have. And I think that was borne out in the recent San Antonio shooting. I guess everyone's heard about that. And
right,
in San Antonio theater or whatever, when an off-duty deputy had her gun and shot the guy with one shot, you know. And that's very helpful whenever you're able to neutralize a threat with very little firepower.
Now that you've heard what they do and their success, well, if you want to argue with that, then I suggest you write Superintendent Thweet and present your argument to him. He'll probably even listen. If you don't do like Piers Morgan and start with the ad hominem attacks. Unfortunately, some of my fellow liberals out there resort to personal insults when someone doesn't agree with them. This Piers Morgan character, he's one of those that does this. Matter of fact, I want you to hear what the oh-so-illustrious Mr. Morgan said to another person who presented a very similar argument.
You're an unbelievably stupid man, aren't you? Yeah, I know why sales of these weapons have been soaring in the last few days. It's down to idiots like you. Mr. Pratt, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for your high-level argument, Mr. Morgan.
You wouldn't understand the meaning of the phrase high-level argument. You are a dangerous man espousing dangerous nonsense. And
disarmament is dangerous. Ask Neville Chamberlain, your role model.
Yeah, sure. I know all about role models, and you're not one of them.
Wow. Looks like CNN has their own personal little version of Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity. Totally illogical. No sensible argument. Instead, you don't agree with folks like them? Their approach is, well, you just heard it. Go for the ad hominem attacks. Insult your guests personally. Act like a 7-year-old on the playground and do name calling. Well, peers, to use your words, you are the idiot for your totally unprofessional behavior, and it is you who is, how did you put it? Exceptionally stupid. Not because I disagree with you, but rather because of how you're treating your guests. Just what kind of psycho war did you get released from, sir? Is your argument that weak where you've got nothing left but to insult people? Apparently that's the case, which is why I just insulted you the way you insulted Philip Van Cleve, Larry Pratt, former Governor Jesse Ventura, Professor John Lawton, who knows how many others. I don't like Fox either, but CNN, if people like Piers Morgan are the best you can come up with, maybe it's a good thing that I stick to C-SPAN. That's C-SPAN, by the way. And I encourage every one of you listening to this podcast to consider doing likewise. Unlike either Fox or CNN, C-SPAN is truly unbiased. I can only imagine how this pompous Piers Morgan fellow would have mistreated Harold School District Superintendent David Thwaite, or anyone else that believes in actually securing our schools instead of trying somehow to punish the good guys. Folks, Superintendent Thwaite has a plan. They've worked it out. It's worked for the last 5 years. Yeah, here in the United States, not some foreign country, right here. Well, the folks in Utah have done the same thing. So, why aren't we going out there and taking what they've shown actually works? Why aren't we enabling our first responders, our teachers, nationwide, to stop the likes of that killer in Connecticut? Just how many more mass murders is it going to take? How many more funerals is it going to take? How many more children have to die before we finally start doing this? How many more is it going to take? We'll take a short break for Station ID and we'll return very shortly.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership, gunrightsradio.com.
We're back. We're going to talk a little bit about the Gun-Free School Zone Act, the law on the books that enables these killers of school children. I'm going to tell you something about those 6 adults that died at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newton, Connecticut. Those were 6 incredibly brave women, from the principal on down to the youngest teacher. Here are their names. Rachel DeVino, school staff. Dawn Hochsprung, principal. Anne Marie Murphy, school staff. Lauren Russo, teacher. Mary Sherlock, school psychologist. Victoria Soto, teacher. And let us not forget the killer's mother, Nancy Lanza, parent volunteer, who was found dead in her bed before the killer went to that school and began his reign of terror. Let's talk about the bravery of the 6 women in that school whom I just listed off to you. Each one of them attempted to shield those little kids with their bodies before the murderer pulled the trigger and killed them in cold blood. It was all these brave women had. It was all. But they gave it, knowing that it wouldn't be enough, but they gave it anyway. They knew they were going to die, but they gave it anyway, just for that sliver of hope that maybe, just maybe, one of the killer's bullets might not hit a child. I don't know about you, but I do consider that worthy of being called hero. Yet, it wasn't enough. As we know, the killer shot those brave protectors. Then he shot the little kids that they were desperately trying to protect. We now know also that the school doors were locked, according to procedure, and that the killer used the rifle in his possession to shoot the lock open. That's how he got in. Folks, I work at a range. I know just how loud that 5.56 ammunition is. It may not be the most powerful of rounds. There are certainly rounds that are far more powerful. But when you fire it out of a semi-automatic action like an AR-15, it's certainly one of the louder ones. That's another way of saying the school staff did have some warning. Now, keep that in mind and imagine this. The principal hears these very loud gunshots. She readies her own gun, just in case. She sees the killer shooting the lock open. She gets behind a corner or some other cover, since she knows the killer has to come through that door. He's going to come through that door. And when the killer does enter, boom! She drops him. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me. Better the killer get put down than innocent little kids, at least in my book. And I would hope any sane person would agree with that. But she couldn't. She was legally prevented from doing so. She was helpless the instant the killer made the decision to enter that school. And now she, along with 5 other women and 20 bright little faces, is dead. The law that disarmed her and everyone else in that school, the law that made them all sitting ducks, is called the Gun-Free School Zones Act. It was first passed in 1990 by a Democratic Congress and signed into law by a Republican president, George Herbert Walker Bush. It got challenged constitutionally, and in 1995, the Supreme Court struck it down as a congressional overreach of the Commerce Clause. So, in that same year of 1995, the Congress tweaked it a little bit, basically to satisfy the strict letter of the Supreme Court's judgment, while effectively maintaining the same ban. This time, it was the New Republican Congress of 1994. Y'all remember Newt Gingrich and the Contract with America? Yeah. And a Democratic president, William Jefferson Bill Clinton. Huh. So much for the Republicans being on the side of the Second Amendment, I guess. But I digress. Anyway, this law makes it illegal to even possess a gun within 1,000 feet of school grounds. That's what this law defines a school zone as, 1,000 feet from school grounds. Yeah, there are a few narrow exceptions, of course. One of them, for example, is if it's private property within, one of these school zones, like, for instance, your house that backs up right against school property, like many do. Also, concealed carriers who have a license issued by the same state that the school's in, this is an important point, remember it, they can carry within 1,000 feet. But they cannot carry onto school property unless specifically authorized by the state or local government or by the school itself. This is why concealed carriers can carry in Utah schools or in Harold, Texas. But anywhere else you do that, you're a felon, even if you're a teacher there. Oh, and it gets worse. Say you're traveling. You got a concealed weapon permit. Your state, well, we'll just use Virginia as an example, has what we call a reciprocity agreement with another state, say Pennsylvania. That means if you have a permit in Virginia, you can carry in Pennsylvania. They have an agreement that way. Say further, you want to go up to Pittsburgh to visit your buddy up there. You're carrying concealed in accordance with the law, no problem, right? You happen to be driving on a road and, well, okay, you're in Pennsylvania now. You see a school after a break in all the trees. Okay, bunches of trees, there's the school. You think, hey, no problem, right? We got a reciprocity agreement with Pennsylvania. I'm covered. Okay, got that? Then you get pulled over for, a speeding ticket or a busted taillight or whatever similar, some small traffic infraction. you dutifully pull over. You can see the school across the street. Whoop-de-doo, right? Reciprocity's got your back, right? Cop asks you if you have any weapons. And, well, since you were directly asked, you answer truthfully, just like you should. Next thing you know, you're in cuffs. And you're being charged with a federal felony. Yeah, there's reciprocity, the cop tells you, but you're within 1,000 feet of a Pennsylvania school. But your permit's from Virginia. That ain't the same state. Therefore, you ain't covered, buddy. According to the text of the Gun-Free School Zones Act, which I have read, your permit has to be of the same state as that school. That means you would have needed to have a Pennsylvania permit. Your Virginia permit don't cut it, pal. Downtown to the precinct you go, and you better hope the DA doesn't have an anti-gun agenda, or else your goose is cooked. You are looking at serious jail time and a major loss of your rights even when you do get out. Forever. Oh, by the way, this also applies to off-duty police officers, too. Yep, even cops can be nailed for being in a gun-free school zone if they're not actually on duty and if they're out of the state where their permit was issued. Yes, even cops need to be careful. The only way to prevent this? You gotta lock your firearm in the trunk or other locked container and have it separated from the ammunition. You see how incredibly dangerous this Gun-Free School Zones Act is? On multiple counts? Dr. Phil McGraw, the famous TV psychologist, likes to ask a question of people that don't get that they need to make a change in their lives. The question goes, how's that working out for you? Well, folks, we've had Columbine. We've had Jonesboro, Arkansas. We've had that Jewish school in Southern California. We've had Virginia Tech. We had Aurora, Colorado this year. We had the Sikh Temple. And finally, we've had Newtown, Connecticut. This gun-free zone idea, how's that working out for us? Looks to me like it isn't. 20 little lives got snuffed out in just such a gun-free school zone. Again, I call upon the words of Dr. Susanna Hupp.
Would the U.S. be better protected from psychopathic shooters like this guy if concealed firearms were legal, Gretchen?
Susanna Hupp helped change gun laws in Texas to allow licensed gun owners to carry concealed weapons. She says more concealed weapons keeps people safer from gun violence. She's live for us in Austin. Good morning to you, Susanna.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And the reason that you feel so strongly about this, as you do, is because you have an extremely important, relevant, personal story to share with viewers. Your parents were gunned down in Killeen, Texas at the Luby's cafeteria there in 1991. Of course, many people remember this tragedy when it unfolded there. You were in the restaurant with them, and you claim that had you been able to carry a concealed weapon, you could have helped save the lives of your parents. How?
Well, you sure can't argue with the fact that it would have changed the odds. People like this go into places that are gun-free zones. I mean, if you pay attention to what's been going on for the last 20 years, all of these mass shootings have been in these so-called gun-free zones. I think we've created a shopping list for people who want a large body bag count. There's no doubt in my mind that anyone having a gun in that restaurant that day would have made a difference. The body count would have been much lower. Several of the people who were killed also had their guns out in their vehicles. We had no way of carrying them legally at that point in Texas.
Susanna, do you feel as though that these gunmen profile, when you get the experts involved, that they don't want a gunfight, they just want to kill, and if they thought they were in a gunfight, they wouldn't go in?
Well, obviously everyone is an individual, but again, when you look at all of these mass shootings over the last, I've got to say about 15 or 20 years, every one of them has been in a gun-free zone. I think they are looking for the highest body count they can possibly get. I mean, look at them. We've had Columbine, we've had daycare centers, we've had post offices, we've had this issue. And here was a situation where we knew we had concealed carry permit holders in that Virginia campus, but they weren't allowed to carry there. And I've got to tell you, at the point where a campus or any other place says you're not allowed to exercise your right here, then at that point, I believe that they have taken on not only the responsibility for your health and safety, mm-hmm. but they've taken on the liability as well.
Okay, so recently Virginia Tech officials testified at a legislative hearing against the professors or students being able to carry a concealed weapon if they were over the age of 21. So you're saying that you're absolutely convinced that had they been able to carry weapons, that we would not have seen the death toll that we saw there on Monday.
I think there's a huge likelihood that we would have, number one, it probably wouldn't have happened. Now, you can't prevent somebody from going and killing their girlfriend or going and killing one or two people. But in a situation where they're wanting to rack up a high body bag count, yes, I think it would have, number one, deterred it, and number two, it would have stopped it if it did go ahead and occur.
Susanna, in the past, except for maybe one or two instances after a major situation like this, people push for stricter gun laws. Do you see it, the same scenario again, or you see people going more towards your line of thinking?
You know, I think it's mixed, but I do think people are sick and tired of this scenario. And I will say again that if guns are the problem, then why don't we see these mass shootings happen at NRA conventions or gun shows or skeet and trap shoots? They don't. They happen where guns aren't allowed.
Because your argument is that this guy, this kind of a whacked out guy, is going to do this no matter what, however hard it is to get a gun.
They want to kill people like fish in a barrel, and I can't begin to tell you how frustrating it is to be one of those fish with absolutely no way of defending yourself, and that is something the politicians have created. I want to know why my teachers in my kids' school can't defend themselves.
Right.
I can.
Well, very interesting and controversial argument. I'm sure we're going to be hearing more about this in the coming weeks. Susanna Hupp, thanks for your perspective this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
And that's the point. Unless you're a mass murderer, this Gun-Free School Zones Act obviously isn't working. Allowing our teachers with permits the choice to carry wouldn't be a guarantee. There are no such guarantees in life. But it certainly would change the equation. I remind you all that these mass murderers have typically killed themselves when faced with armed resistance. Having our teachers and other responsible citizen adults armed would make these killers at least think twice before attacking the place where we send our most cherished, vulnerable members of our families, our schools. And that's what we need to do. This is Cowboy T signing off. Until next time. Until then, safe shooting. Take care of your own. Take care of your families. Thanks for listening. And remember, life is short. Celebrate it. Live it. As long as we're here. Happy holidays.
Gun Rights Radio Network, podcasting freedom.
Ah, Mark, how are you, friend?
Hey, Doc Weston, how are you doing?
You're listening to the Barstool Discussion.
Welcome to Gunsmithing Radio with your host, Fred Zeglin.
You're listening to the Gun Review Podcast, a podcast that is made up entirely of gun reviews from the ordinary gun owner.
Hi, folks, Bob Main here with another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast.
This is Downrange Radio, and I'm your host, Michael Bain.
You are listening to the Personal Armament Podcast, Gimme Some Lumens Show. This is Rob Robidoux.
From the commander's chair of the Rolling Chicken Hammer Love Wagon Studio, it's the Road Gunner Podcast, coming at you with 80,000 pounds of concealed carry.
You're listening to Firearms Cafe. I'm your host, Tony Brown.
You're listening to the Gun Rights Advocates Podcast, and I am your host, Mark Vanderberg.
Welcome to the Practical Defense Quick Tip of the Week. I'm your host, Alex Addicks.
Live from sunny Live Oak, Florida, it's the Pro-Arms Podcast.
Now, your host for the Politics and Guns Podcast, Paul Lathrop.
Hello and welcome to episode 306. Wow, 206
of your weekly Gun Dudes Podcast.
Hello, gunslingers.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jim Fleming, and this is Reloading Radio.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Rimfire Podcast. My name is Ken Kowalski, and I'll be your host.
Shooting the Breeze, the formal gun podcast of WaltNPA.com. I am Walt White.
This is Doc Wesson, and in this episode of the Gun Nation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Armed Citizen Podcast. I'm your host, Mick McCart.
Welcome to the Survival Gun Show. My name is Chip Monk, and I'm your humble correspondent.
Every show on the Gun Rights Radio Network gets support from the network in one form or another, and the network needs your support to keep bringing you these podcasts. please consider going to www.gunrightsradio.com/donate and becoming a subscriber to the network. A subscription is only $2 a month and does things like helping pay for servers and bandwidth. From time to time, the network receives donated products it uses to give away to subscribers, and this year it has an amazing prize to be awarded to one lucky subscriber. The Masada Yub Group has donated an $800 Mag 40 class to be given away, and all you have to do to be eligible to win the drawing is to be a subscriber to the network. More details to be released soon on the drawing and other prizes. So don't wait. Head over to www.gunrightsradio.com/donate and become a subscriber now to be sure you're eligible to win this fantastic training opportunity.